So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for our time together, our laughter, our own characters that we portray on a video, which is great. And we just thank you that we are here to listen to your word from Don. And let that word penetrate us and give us peace, give us hope, give us joy, give us comfort, give us compassion, and most importantly, give us love to show to other people in our community throughout the world as we meet here today, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, beautiful people, welcome. Mm-hmm. Take it away, Don.
Well, taking it away.
Don, can I say something real quick?
Sure.
I just wanted to say, I forgot, this is sort of an announcement. I'm really proud of Shane because we're today celebrating the 20th year of his salvation, 20 years since his salvation. And I'm just really proud of him and I love him. And I just wanted to say it. 20.
Great. That's worth celebrating. And as is, you know, last week I was so excited when we were celebrating another Easter, a resurrection. And I, for those of you who remember Keith's message, and I know we all remember word for word everything that's spoken, but it was so exciting to go through Romans and that chapter where Paul goes into what is ours by our salvation. And I told Keith it was so exciting because instead of just going through the typical Easter resurrection passage, he was talking about what is ours because of that. And I've been so inspired this week as I kept thinking through all of that, that I came up with these wild ideas. I don't know if you've printed your notes off for this morning, but in my word yesterday, you know, I referred to us as because of Easter kids. And so that's that I'm actually titling to this morning's message the same. And so wanted to get into this because this is way too good to just do one Sunday a year. This thing is really powerful. So in my notes, my little blurb at the beginning of my notes each time, I'm saying, can you feature it? The biggest, most impressive, life-altering miracle ever, and I mean ever, and God does it on the sneak. He orchestrates a non-event. No witnesses, no reporters, no cameras, no fanfare, no script. Just a gaping tomb, empty, except for a bodiless, blood-stained linen shroud, crumpled unceremoniously by the stone ledge inside. And silence. And yet, this hush-hush kingdom ninja operation, with its undetected till it's too late advances, keeps breaking through into our hearts, whipping off our death shrouds, and kissing us to life. And here we are, because of Easter kids, all. This idea of who we are as believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, calling ourselves because of Easter kids. If it hadn't been for Easter, if it hadn't been for what Jesus did, we wouldn't be here. We would have no reason to be here. There would be nothing that would draw us together. We'd have no word that would encourage our hearts. And so I just want us to think a little bit about what is ours as because of Easter kids. You know, it's probably my same old message over and over again, but it doesn't get better than this. So I'm sorry, you'll just have to tolerate it again. But so I want us to look in Colossians chapter 1. Here's a letter by probably the best known, earliest of because of Easter kids, and his name is Paul. You know, you remember Acts 9. If you haven't read Acts 9 for a while, you might want to jot it down. But this whole Damascus Road thing, that was a kingdom ninja operation. Paul was full of fury and anger against these followers of Jesus, and he was determined to wipe them out. And right at the most inconvenient time, God swoops in and absolutely smacks him down. And you can read the story for yourself. But then as a result of that Kingdom Ninja operation, Paul ends up writing the majority of what we have as New Testament. His life was so transformed from the angry, bitter, put them all in jail, have them killed person. And he turned into this because of Easter Kid who couldn't contain his excitement. And so we have so many of these letters that he writes to the churches he established in his zeal for Jesus. And so in chapter one of Colossians, I'm just going to pick out a few of the verses. And, you know, again, if you've printed out your notes, I've got a bunch of blanks there for you to fill in. But instead of reading the whole chapter, I just want to highlight for us a few of these verses, because what I think is none of us really knows everything that is ours in our salvation, what is ours by inheritance, what has been given to us in this extreme generosity of our Creator God. And so, you know, you might even be inspired to read chapter one of Colossians every day for a week and just ask the Holy Spirit to show you, what have I missed? We're going to look at a few of the things maybe you've missed this morning. So the first thing, my first point here is what we as Because of Easter Kids have received, what's already ours. This has been so much fun putting this together and seeing the things that God is doing. So in first of all, in verse 5, Paul says, and this is out of the Passion Translation, which I'm enjoying. He says, your faith and your love and your faith rise within you as you access all the treasures of your inheritance. And so you're blanking, if you're filling in those, it's rise within you. I love that they've said rise within. Why does our love and our faith rise from within? Because we don't dredge it up. We don't create it. We don't force it. We don't grit our teeth and say, I'm going to love and I'm going to have faith regardless. It rises within us because this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. He causes it to rise up within us. And, you know, we have hot air balloon celebrations every year around the United States. I don't know if they do them in France. I've never seen them. But there are times, especially in the fall, like in Arizona, there are hundreds and hundreds of hot air balloons that are in the air. It's a beautiful spectacle. But those things rise up because of the fire that is in there, and it causes them to be filled up and rise up into the air and float around. I did find out from friends of ours, other pastors from the Vineyard, Matt and Pam Havens, who went out last year to that. The landing of these balloons is not exactly well-guided and smooth. You actually have to have people on the ground who run after them, chase these balloons so they don't fly off into the stratosphere. Not exactly my idea of a fun time, but the balloons rise up because of the heat that comes from within them. And our love and our faith rises up because the Holy Spirit is constantly stoking fire inside of us. And so when we love and when we have faith for a given circumstance, it's not because of what we've done. It's because of what the Holy Spirit has done and is rising up within us as Paul says, as we access the treasures of our inheritance. I don't know about you, but I need to access the treasures of my inheritance more often, because there are certain circumstances, like being holed up in the house for a month or longer. You know, you just have to access different aspects of your inheritance. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does, and he's doing that in many of us. And so that's why we keep encouraging one another. We keep sending out the Tuesday and the Thursday updates that Sue puts out. And we've got some really good ones coming up this week as well. So you want to be watching for those. Moving on to verse 6, Paul says, This is the wonderful message, first blank, wonderful message, powerfully changing hearts throughout the earth. You know, every time somebody turns to the Lord, it's not what they've done either. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, and he powerfully changes hearts. You know, I've got examples from my family. My one of my uncles, who was in the Second World War and was at the, you know, he was in multiple battles over there. Not that he talked about it much, but he was very quiet and never went to church, never really talked much about anything. And, you know, I remember thinking as a kid, he'll never come to church. I mean, that just wasn't part of his thing. And I don't even know what inspired it all, but the next thing you know, he's given his heart to the Lord and he's in church every Sunday. It was so exciting. And of course, my brother and his wife, who were with us for Easter last week from Alberta, you know, for many, many years, they were far from the Lord. And a neighbor just invited them to a Bible study. And for some crazy reason, they said yes. And they have been on fire for the Lord for the last 25 years. You know, but, you know, the least likely for me and my brother Alan, and yet here they are, these amazing believers now, and it's just really exciting. And so it's always a powerful work of the Holy Spirit if we give our hearts to the Lord. It's, you know, we don't actually, it's almost like we don't give our hearts to the Lord. He steals them. He just breaks in and steals them and turns our lives upside down like he did for Paul. And then in verse 7, the third point, Paul talks about Epaphras, and he said he was left with you guys to thoroughly teach you the astonishing revelation. Have you ever been astonished by this wonderful message of the gospel, this message of salvation, that God would love us? His ninja operation, when he swoops in and he grabs hold of us and he turns our hearts inside out and he whips that death shroud off and he kisses us to life, it's always just a miracle of his love. And yet that's part of our inheritance. That's why we're here today. And we may not be comfortable with all this kissy information, but God has done an amazing work and he's raised up some amazing stuff in us. If we move on to verse 11, Paul says, we pray that you would be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Now, this language does not sound like an angry and bittered, ready to put everybody in prison, A-type. He doesn't sound like that. He sounds like everything that was a negative, dark, angry position of heart has gotten turned so much around that it's the exact same energy and passion he throws in to letting people know how amazing this gift of salvation is, using words like explosive power, magnificent glory, and great hope. The more I read Colossians 1, especially out of this translation with these amazing fresh words, it just helps me to realize how much is ours already. This inheritance is way bigger than we could ever describe. And so I think that's really an incredible thing. And I totally loved the worship music that Keith recommended this morning, those three songs, especially the fiery love. You know, he loves us with a fiery love. This, you know, again, it's this embarrassing, too intimate, ushy-gushy kind of stuff. And yet that's who God is. And that's what he does with us. And so he comes after us in our worst. And he puts up with us in our worst. And he welcomes us back when we just begin to turn to him. So I'm always amazed. Verse 12 of just going into these things of what we've received, and this is just the highlight for me of these verses. In verse 12, Paul says, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance. First of all, our hearts can soar, and certain things make our hearts soar. We looked at fine art from artists last week, Liz and Hope. That was amazing. So thanks again, Liz. Hope's not with us here today. But you know, it makes our hearts soar when we see the depth of understanding and artistry that goes in to everything that God has given us. But then the fact that God made us worthy. You know, we keep talking about we don't deserve this. And, you know, Keith reminded us we don't get what we deserve. But we do get what we don't deserve. And God made us worthy. This is one of the astonishing, going back to that word, one of the astonishing things about this gospel message that we've received, this crazy, over-the-top, you Brits call it OTT. I just heard that expression. Do you say OTT for over-the-top? Yeah. Okay, I'd never heard that before, but I think it's really cool. So God's love is definitely OTT. And he made us worthy to receive his glorious inheritance. And there's more. If you really work at Colossians chapter 1, Paul is, I mean, he's throwing everything he's got to help us to understand what is ours in Christ. So that's what is already ours. And that's enough. I mean, that's enough to make you want to do cartwheels. Most of us wouldn't do cartwheels because we'd have to have 911 on speed dial. But there's a second part here, B, and this is what we, as because of Easter kids, are still receiving. What's ongoing? What keeps getting better and better? And through verses, a little bit out of 15, 17, and 20, I've pulled this out. He, Christ, is the divine portrait. Now, everything finds completion in him, is brought back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit is doing in us right now. He is continually finishing our portrait, as I mentioned yesterday in my note, fleshing out Christ's likeness in us. We are made in his image. One author, and I mentioned this before, one author said we're made in God's image, but throughout our lifetime, he's restoring his likeness, and he does portraits. And so now everything, Paul says, everything, that means us, we find completion in him, and we are brought back to our original intent, restored to innocence again by God's incredible love for us. You know, isn't it amazing when someone makes a reference to the fact that when God sees us, he sees us as flawless, sinless, and fully restored as adopted children. He always sees us as because of Easter kids. He can never see us again as the wretched, the lonely, the sin lost, the broken, all of that. He doesn't see that. He sees the result of what Jesus accomplished in this non-event. I mean, I still can't believe that God would do something like that and not have major fanfare. We're left trying to figure out what was that really like. And so Hollywood has produced a few of the resurrection scenes for us with lights and angels going in the ethers and all of these crazy things. But God chose not to do it that way. He chose to make the most crazy, wonderful thing the non-event. It happened when no one was around, nobody knew what was happening, and when they actually saw the result of what had happened, it was hard to wrap their heads around it. And as a matter of fact, I think 2,000 years later, we have a hard time wrapping our heads around it too. How could God do that? When we look at ourselves in the mirror and we're like, seriously, God did that for me? He made me a Because of Easter kid, that I am now part of the resurrection life of Jesus, and I share in his inheritance. These are all the amazing things that the word tells us. And it's hard to wrap our mind around it, especially when we've just gone through a rebellion, or we've had a ranting meltdown, or we've had time of disobedience. We're just like, you know, well, I'm the worm, I'm the miserable wretch. For those of you, you know, who were physically present last year, we handed out white wristbands to remind us that what we need to think about when we think of ourselves, we need to think of ourselves in language which is true to what the scripture says about us. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We need to really work on that. What does that really mean? We are free. He's set us free from the law of sin and death. There's so many promises there. And Colossians 1 actually here fills out a lot of these things. But this divine portrait, the entirety of our lives, I think, as we are working our way through stumbling and falling backwards and, you know, face planting and doing all these disobedient things and all the stuff that we could possibly imagine, in the middle of that, God uses all of these things. You know, God gets mileage out of everything, right? And so I think God gets mileage out of even our failures, even our mess ups, even when we are shamefaced, we have that moment where we said, I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe those words came out of my mouth. I can't believe I treated that person that way. God uses every one of those moments when our hearts are still enough, and he uses that to shape us and help us to see another dimension of this incredible, eternal, no bottom to it love that reaches into us and says, all right, I see that death shroud wrapping around you again. Let me get that off of there. Let me kiss you back to life. Let me stand you on your feet, dust you off, and let's walk the next mile together. He's amazing in his faithfulness to do all of those things and to refresh us again and again and again. And so we have this amazing, amazing thing that God is doing in us, which is creating this portrait in us. At the end of this chapter, in verse 26 and 27 of in the Passion Translation, Paul says, this is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that's been concealed from the world for generations. But now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within us is the Christ who floods us with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And everyone wants to know it. And then in reference to one of the songs this morning, Paul says in verse 28, Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of truth. This is the work that God is doing in us. We are all being transformed little by little into his image, into this likeness, so that his portrait shows more and more in us. And it is just an amazing thing that God would do something like that in us. I put at the bottom of the notes, there's this quote here from Michael Gatlin in a piece of artwork. And he says, paint in my life a portrait of Jesus. And I tried to get really techie and failed, but I took a picture of this picture that we have and I put it on my computer and I thought I could share my screen, but I can't. So I'm gonna do the best I can here and show you a picture of this. I'm gonna stick it up to my screen and hopefully you can see this. Can you see this? Up higher, down.
Oh, yeah, we can see it. Very beautiful.
Yeah, and underneath it, he's got "Paint in My Life a Portrait of Jesus." He's an artist, and he's a vineyard pastor in Duluth, Minnesota. And so that was what I tried to show you on my screen, which would have been a lot clearer. But a few years ago at our missions conference, he brought copies of that piece of art, and he gave a copy to everyone in attendance. So Sue and I were both there. We both got one, and we have this one is framed at our house. I have mine, the one I got, framed in my office, which I'm not going to these days. But that's just, to me, that's an image of what God is doing in us. And he is making something beautiful out of us. And when I look around and I see all of your faces, and Elizabeth, even though I can't, and Liz, I can't see your faces, but I know your faces, God is doing a beautiful work of creating in us his likeness so that it can be shown to the world. And so I think we need to celebrate the fact that we are, because of Easter Kids, regardless of our mess ups, we are so loved beyond belief. And this work that God is doing in us will never stop. It just goes on and on and on. There's an ongoing work. He's never angry, never frustrated. He just waits for us to finish our little meltdown and, you know, puts us in timeout, waits for us to finish when we run out of energy. Then he comes in and collects us, and he loves us back again. It gets unbelievable, but that's exactly what I've been experiencing for all these years. And it's been since I got Kingdom Ninja 56 years ago, you know, and he still needs to rescue me over and over again. But I just see his work and his faithfulness over and over again. So to all of you, because of Easter Kids, I want to pray a blessing over you, encouraging you to read Colossians 1 and really dig in to get the full access to all these glorious riches that are ours. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much that this Easter event was not just a one-off thing that really had no consequence, but on the contrary, it was such an enormous earth-shattering event with everything that happened that we are familiar with. But even then, it was an event from 2,000 years ago, but it continues to reverberate in our hearts. You continually swoop in and shake us off and take off the death shroud that continually wants to wrap itself around us. And then you kiss us to life. And you refer to us as the bride, and you're the bridegroom. This embarrassingly intimate language, and yet that's how you love us, and that's how you see us. And you're continually restoring us so that our portrait looks more and more and more like you. And so in this weird season that we're in, all stuck in our homes and looking at each other on screens, thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for the parts of our portrait that are being created, even as we speak, and the things that you're teaching us, and the things you want to make our hearts soar as we realize this work of the Holy Spirit within us. We give you praise, Father. You are beyond anything we could ever describe in our love languages that we have together. So thank you for loving us to life. Thanks for this day, for this season, and for the work you have yet to do, which you will be faithful in accomplishing. Amen.